بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم we read from the kitab إصلاح العقائد corrections of beliefs and today we read about our belief concerning تقليد. تقليد refers to an ignorant person having trust on a knowledgeable person and practicing on his view without asking for any proof. Just to repeat that, taqleed refers to an ignorant person having trust on a knowledgeable person and practicing on his view without asking for any proof. This law of taqleed is found in the Quran and many ahadith. Taqleed is implemented in those matters in which, number one, there is no clear ruling in the Quran and Sunnah. Number two, there is difficulty in understanding its meaning. Number three, these verses can have more than one meaning. Number four, there is ambiguity or brevity in its meaning. And number five, they are outwardly conflicting verses or ahadith. The object of taqleed is that in those matters in which there are different manners of practicing, is to choose one path, trusting on the understanding and opinion of a pious scholar who had devoted his life to understanding Islamic concepts instead of preferring one's personal opinion. It is obvious that this is much more precautious and correct. The knowledge, understanding, piety, and intelligence of the great Imams, as well as being in close proximity to the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are such qualities which were not found to that extent in latter times and more so today. The amount of trust which can be placed on them cannot be placed on people who came later as well as on oneself. The object of taqleed is only to follow the Quran and Sunnah. The only being worthy of being obeyed is Allah Ta'ala. We follow the Anbiya alayhim as-salam because it is Allah's command and because they convey to us the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mujtahid is followed because he is explaining to us in detail the laws of Allah Ta'ala which he cannot extract from the Quran and Sunnah. The mujtahid is not ma'asum, in other words sinless, and can make an error. For his error he will receive one reward, and for his correct ruling he will receive two rewards. It is compulsory for a person who has not reached the level of ijtihad to follow a mujtahid. In the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there were two types of taqleed. The first, taqleed mutlaq. People would ask any reputable scholar regarding any religious problem they faced. And the second type is taqleed shakhsi, that people would refer to only one scholar for all their religious questions. As time went on, the first form was abandoned, as people would go to different scholars asking for rulings until they found one which suited themselves. They would follow the easiest view which conformed to their desires, which in reality is not following the Sharia. From the second century onwards, all the people began following one specific person. Many mujtahids lived in the past, but in today's times, only one of the four Imams are followed. That is Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, and Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayh. The reason for this is that only these four Imams' madhabs were preserved in totality, and that there were many of their students who taught people according to that madhab. Since the other mujtahids' works were not compiled, nor are there ulama who can teach according to their madhab, therefore one must follow one of the above four imams. A person should follow whichever mujtahid he has greater reliance on. Speaking ill of the great imams, referring to taqleed as shirk, and trying to understand the Quran and ahadith on one's own without having the ability of ijtihad will expel a person from the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. For the past 1200 years, Muslims of the Ahlu Sunnati wal Jamaat throughout the world followed one of the four Imams. Many groups of people who abandoned Taqleed eventually became completely misguided and irreligious, due to which many of them finally deserted from Islam. All the four madhabs are correct, as they spring from the Quran and Sunnah. Their rulings are based on the Quran and Ahadith, personal and individual opinion having no share in their formulation. Their founders are men of highest Islamic caliber. The ustads of some of the Imams were the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. Taqleed is not something new to Islam. Without the guidance and explanation of the Sharia offered by these great servants of Islam, it is not possible to follow the teachings of Islam. Taqleed is the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, which they handed over to the fuqaha, the jurists, which were then transmitted authoritatively and authentically from generation to generation until it reached us. In this way, it will be transmitted till the day of judgment, insha'Allah ta'ala. Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 19th para was recited. The 19th para consists of the completion of Surah Al-Furqan, followed by Surah Al-Shu'ara, and then by Surah Al-Naml, the major portion of Surah Al-Naml. Part of it then goes on to the 20th para. Surah Al-Furqan, which commenced at the end of the 19th para, the word Furqan here, the name of the surah has been given Furqan because Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the Quran and Majid with the name of Furqan. Furqan means that which is the decider and distinguisher, which in other words distinguishes between haqq and batil, truth and falsehood, and that which is halal and haram. The Quran and Majid, since it does this, that's why it is called Furqan. Previously in a verse we had read that if the person who adopts taqwa, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with this quality of Furqan, whereby he is given that insight and that quality whereby he can distinguish between the haqq and the batil. In the surah, being a Makki surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the fundamentals of deen. Particularly in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the greatness of the Qur'an Majid, the most high and exalted position of the Qur'an Majid, together with the truthfulness of the Risalat and the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, mention is made in great detail of the doubts and objections which the kuffar had with regards to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and also with regards to the Quran and Majid. These doubts and arguments are mentioned together with the answers to those doubts and questions throughout the first portion of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that. Allah ta'ala commences the surah saying that most blessed is that being who has revealed the Furqan, the Quran and Majid, upon his servant, his bondsman, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be a warner for the people of the world. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most blessed, to whom belongs the kingdom of the skies and the earth. And Allah ta'ala had not made anyone his children, as the Christians claim that Isa alayhi salam was the son of Allah. And Allah ta'ala, for Allah ta'ala there is no partner in his kingdom. And وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and Allah ta'ala has created everything. فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, and Allah ta'ala has meticulously perfected every of his creation. The last portion of this verse, Allah Ta'ala makes mention, فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. Ulama explained this, that every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been created for a specific purpose and for a specific reason. And the form of that creation, with its properties and qualities and all its traits which Allah Ta'ala has instilled in that particular creation of his, is perfectly suited for the purpose of his creation. So Allah, what we many times we can't understand the different creations of Allah Ta'ala. We see animals, we see human beings, but all the other different creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala has made them such that they are perfectly suited for the purpose of their creation. Allah Ta'ala further then mentions many of the doubts and objections, baseless objections, which the kuffar leveled against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran Majeed. With regards to the Quran Majeed, they say, in hadha illa ifkun, iftarahu, that this Quran Majeed is just something which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has fabricated from his own side. He has forged it from his own side and attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they say that no, it is asatirul awwaleen, that it is just a collection of the fables of the people of the past. And they say that it is sihr, it is just magic. Why they couldn't now understand why Quran Majeed has such an influence on the people. And rather than acknowledging that it is Allah Ta'ala's kalam, they attributed it to now magic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all these doubts and, of these people. Further on concerning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say, how is he just like a human like us? يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامُ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. He eats food, he walks in the bazaar marketplaces, so how can he be a Nabi? Then they say, لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ. Why is it that an angel has not been sent with him who can now testify and verify to us whether he is actually a Nabi sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And sometimes they say, أَوْ يُلْقَى إِلَيْهِ كَنْزٌ أَوْ تَكُونُ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ يَأْكُلُ مِنْهَا. Then why is it that he doesn't have with him the treasures of the world and the orchards and gardens of the world? In other words, the treasures and material things of this world. Why doesn't he possess all of that? And further they say that he's just rajulan maskhura. He is a bewitched person. Allah, in other words, different types of objections they made. The main thing was that they did not want to accept Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a Nabi, and they presented all such weak type of arguments and doubts that why they are not accepting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Nabi. Allah Ta'ala says, Undur kayfa darabu laka al-amthal. See, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they make up examples for you, they coin up arguments and doubts with regard to you. But the purpose and object is not to accept the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather is to stay on their stubbornness and obstinacy. Allah Ta'ala says, فَضَلُّوا. They have now gone astray, and they will not be able to find the path of haqq and towards their salvation. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the terrible scenes of Qiyamah and the terrible and dreadful type of punishment which Allah Ta'ala has kept in store for these people. Allah Ta'ala says that وَعَتَدْنَا لِمَنْ كَذَّبَ بِالسَّاعَةِ سَعِيرًا, that we have prepared for those people who deny Qiyamah and the Aqeedah of resurrection, we have prepared for them a blazing fire in the form of Jahannam. That fire, when it will see these people who are to come into it from a distant place, these people will hear the roar of Jahannam and also the crackling sound of the fire of Jahannam. And when they will be thrown in there, it will be a very constricted and narrow place for them. And they will be shackled and their hands will be now tied up. And da'u hunalika thubura. It is at that time that they will now call out for death and destruction to come to them. They will plead that death must come to them to now relieve them of this great punishment which they have been afflicted with. Allah Ta'ala says, لا تدعو اليوم ثبورا واحدا وادعو ثبورا كثيرا. That don't call for just one death and destruction, call for many. In other words, it will be to no avail. You can plead and cry and whatever, but you are going to stay forever and ever in this everlasting punishment of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala then, towards the end of the para, of the 19th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that these people who say that how can a Nabi be a human being like us, that he eats and walks in the marketplaces. Allah Ta'ala says all the Anbiya alayhi salam which we had sent previously without any exception, they were also human beings. None of them was any other creation or an angel, but they also used to eat food. They also used to walk in the marketplaces to see to their needs. So it's nothing new, no new objection which these people, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are leveling against you. Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةٍ, that Allah Ta'ala says, we make some to be a test for others. that these people, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are opposing you and refusing to accept your message is actually also a test for you from our side. Atasbirun, will you persevere and make sabr? Wa kana rabbuka basira. Allah ta'ala is watchful over everything, and Allah ta'ala is well aware of whatever they are doing. The first verses of the 19th para, again, the absurd objections and doubts which the kuffar leveled against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala says concerning them that these people who have no desire to meet us, in other words, no belief concerning life after death and meeting with Allah ta'ala after death, they say, لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Why don't angels come to us also? Why only he has been selected for the post of Nabuwat? He is not an influential, worldly, in a worldly sense, a type of a person, nor is he a wealthy person, nor is he a prominent person, which they regarded to be prominent. Why has he been selected? Why don't the angels then come to us? Oh, Nara Rabbana, or why is it that we cannot see our Rabb? We will only believe if we are able to see our Rabb. Allah Ta'ala says that they have now fall into the pride and haughtiness. That this pride and haughtiness, they because of that, they regard themselves eligible to be now on the coast of Nabuwat, or to even see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala says they have fallen in great rebellion by making such statements. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you want to see angels, the day when you will see angels, la bushra yawma idhin lil mujrimin. On that day there will be no glad tidings for the sinners. In other words, the day you will see the angels, either at the time of death, or when the angels of punishment on the day of Qiyamah will come to them and they will see them, and they will see that that day there will be no glad tidings or anything good for them. And at that time they will say وَيَقُولُونَ حِجْرًا مَحْجُورًا, that stay far from us, become a barrier, something must become a barrier between us and you, that we don't approach us. So today you are demanding to see angels and Allah Ta'ala, but when you will see the angels, at that time then you will realize that they will come to punish you. Concerning the actions, Allah Ta'ala says, even the good which they do, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا, we will make it like scattered dust. Because without iman, no matter how good a person's actions may be, but by Allah Ta'ala, it will not be acceptable, nor will a person be rewarded in the least bit. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, وَيَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِبُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ, that on that day, the zalim, the oppressor, will bite on his hands and his fingers out of regret, and he will say, woe unto me, يَا لَيْتَنِي, if only, اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا, I had made a path of mine toward with the Rasul and accepted his message. And then he will say, woe unto me, if only I had not made such a person as my friend. Referring to an incident which occurred in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person by the name of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, he realized the truthfulness of the message of Islam and the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He either inclined or accepted Islam, but he had a close friend who was a staunch mushrik and enemy of Islam by the name of Ubay ibn Khalaf. So Ubay ibn Khalaf told him that, what's this? That why are you now accepting Islam or inclining towards Islam? He told him that, no, I have realized the truth. Then he told him, no, there's nothing like that. And don't accept this deen, and turn away from this deen. And if there is anything truth in Islam, and on the day of Qiyamah, don't worry, I will sort it out. I will take all the responsibility. And on that basis, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id disinclined from Islam or turned away from Islam, and Allah Ta'ala says on that day he will regret that why he had now made such a person his friend, was the result that he was deprived of the great bounty of accepting Islam. From this we understand that friendship also, a person should be careful with whom he befriends. We read in the hadith, al-mar'u ala deen khalilihi falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil. A person is according to the deen of his friend, and a person must be watchful and careful and see who does he befriend. Because company has a tremendous effect on a person, and we should ensure that we only keep the company of the pious and the righteous, or else it is possible with the wrong company a person can now fall into misguidance. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the complaint of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Either Mufassirin say, in that world Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already made this complaint, or on the day of Qiyamah, Allah in the court of Allah ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi ittakhadhu hadha al-Qur'ana mahjura. That, oh my Rabb, my nation had abandoned this Qur'an-i Majeed. They had forsaken this Qur'an-i Majeed. In other words, this complaint will be lodged in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that my nation has now did this. Ulama, in explaining this verse, what is meant by forsaking the Qur'an-i Majeed, the famous scholar Allama ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions five things, and this constitutes abandoning and forsaking the Qur'an-i Majeed. One, he says, to read the Qur'an-i Majeed but not to believe and have firm conviction in the Qur'an-i Majeed being the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is to read the Qur'an-i Majeed but not to practice on the injunctions and teachings of the Qur'an-i Majeed. And the third point he mentions is that not to make the Qur'an-i Majeed your decider and judge in your disputes and in your affairs. In other words, we should always make the Qur'an-i Majeed, only the Qur'an-i Majeed, the ultimate decider in all our disputes and quarrels which we might encounter with one another. And the fourth point he mentions is that you read the Qur'an-i Majeed, but you don't ponder over its meaning. That is also a part of this, that you are forsaking the Qur'an-i Majeed. And the first point he mentions, that we don't regard the Qur'an-i Majeed to be a cure and shifa for all our physical as well as spiritual ailments. Any of this will constitute forsaking the Qur'an-i Majeed. Therefore, we should take a lesson from these words. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will lodge this complaint in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of Allah ta'ala. Further on, Allah ta'ala then makes mention of another objection of the kuffar. They say, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً. But why is it that this Qur'an-i Majeed has not been revealed all at once upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The previous scriptures, the Torah, Injil, etc., they were revealed all at once. Not bit by bit over a lengthy period of time, but all at once. But it is the speciality of the Qur'an-i Majeed that over a period of 23 years, from the time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acquired Nabuwah till the end, bit by bit, according to the need and according to the circumstances, Allah ta'ala revealed particular verses over a lengthy period of time. So here also they level this objection, not because they really wanted to accept the Qur'an-i Majeed to be the word of Allah ta'ala, but just to make excuses. Allah ta'ala says, yes, it is so. We did reveal the Qur'an-i Majeed, not all at once, but by bit, but the reason for it, لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. That, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that through this gradual revelation of the Qur'an-i Majeed, we can strengthen your heart, and we reveal this Qur'an-i Majeed and recite it to you gradually. In other words, in a slow form, not all at once. So the reason and the wisdom behind the gradual revelation of the Qur'an-i Majeed is being indicated to in this verse, that to strengthen the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in the face of the opposition of the kuffar, in the form of mocking, taunting, ridiculing, and even denying and persecution also, in the face of all that, the gradual recitation of the Qur'an will serve as a fortitude and strength and encouragement for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is one wisdom. Other wisdoms also ulama explain that so that it facilitates and makes easier the understanding of the Qur'an-i Majeed, the memorizing of the Qur'an-i Majeed, because all at once, a person if he's faced with too much all at once, it sometimes he loses heart. But this gradual process facilitates and makes easier understanding and memorizing and practicing on the Qur'an-i Majeed. And another reason the ulama explained the purpose and wisdom behind the gradual revelation of the Qur'an-i Majeed is that in the face of any objection and onslaught from the kuffar, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is provided with immediate response and answer to their objections when at that particular time that particular verse is revealed, which now gives an answer to all the objections and the onslaught of the kuffar. So this is also one of the wisdoms. The ulama give an example of this, that all of a sudden too much rain all at once is not beneficial for crops and plants and plantations. Many a time it is detrimental and harmful for the crops. But gradual rain, intermittent rain, is beneficial because it is easily absorbed in the ground and it helps the plants grow properly. So this is now the same example of the gradual revelation of the Quran and Majid, not all at once. So the answer to that also, objection also has been mentioned here. Allah Ta'ala makes mention further of very briefly some incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, and Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of these people who refuse to accept and acknowledge the haqq. Allah Ta'ala says, Inhum illa kal an'am. They are just like animals. In fact, they are even worse than animals. They are even more astray than animals. Animals, at least, they recognize and are obedient to the one who even gives them for one or two days even some food to eat. It will become obedient to and regard it to be his master, and even sacrifice their life for that. But these people, Allah is the creator, nourisher, sustainer, but yet they refuse to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his oneness and his greatness. With the result, Allah ta'ala says they are worse than animals. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of many of his numerous great creations. If a person ponders over that, a person will understand and recognize the existence, the oneness and the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah makes mention of the shadow, the increase and decrease and diminishing shadows which we see, which are all connected to the movement of the sun and of the earth. Allah ta'ala says, in that you can also understand our great qudrat, how we have made the night a dress. In other words, just as the clothing covers and conceals the body, the night enshrouds the complete, enshrouds the whole world, and so that people can have time to rest. Allah Ta'ala says, وَنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا, and we have made the sleep as a means of acquiring rest. If it was not for sleep, how would we have survived? And ask the person who can't fall asleep that how his mind doesn't function correctly. And Allah Ta'ala says, we made the day to move around, to seek the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we made it bright. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the winds, and then the rains which Allah Ta'ala sends down, which now irrigate the land, the dead land, and crops grow out. Allah Ta'ala says, all this we have did so that you take heed and take lesson. But فَأَبَىٰ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كُفُورًا. But most people, they are in great form of ingratitude, and they refuse to acknowledge that these are the great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't obey the kuffar, don't do things according to their whims and fancies. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. And through this Quran and Majid, strive against them, a great striving. Here, since the surah is a Makki surah, here jahid will not mean taking up arms and fighting. Here it will mean to strive and propagate the Quran and Majid and do your best to send the message of the Quran and Majid. This has been called the jihad in this particular verse. Further on, Allah Ta'ala make mention in the last ruku the qualities of his special and selected servants. Allah Ta'ala calls them Ibadur Rahman. 13 qualities have been mentioned here of those who Allah Ta'ala says, they are my bandas, they are my selected servants, and we should try and inculcate all these qualities within us. The first one is the quality of abdiyat, where a person in every aspect of his life becomes completely obedient and dedicated to the will of his master, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in the true sense of the word is the meaning of the word ibad. Allah Ta'ala says they walk on the earth with utmost humbleness, and when they are confronted with the ignorant and they debate with them, they don't debate with them, they just say salam. In other words, they leave them, they do not argue with them unnecessarily. Then they are such who spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala, but without extravagance, nor are they stingy. They adopt a moderate path. They don't ascribe partners to Allah Ta'ala. They don't take a life which Allah Ta'ala has sanctified and made unlawful to take, but with his due right. They don't commit adultery. And they are such who don't witness falsehood. Either they don't give false testimony, or either they don't attend such places where false is perpetrated, batil is perpetrated against Islam. And whenever they are confronted with vain and futile things, they walk away and pass away gracefully. They don't indulge in that vain and futile activity. And they make dua also that Allah Ta'ala grant us in our spouses and in our offspring the coolness of our eyes, and make us the imam of the muttaqeen. Since we are the leader of the household, make my offspring and my spouses muttaqi and with taqwa, and we can then become the imam of there. So these are the dua, the qualities of the pious people and the selected servants of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, for them we have now prepared the great rewards in the hereafter. The next surah is Surah Shu'ara. Shu'ara is the plural of Sha'ir, which means a poet. Amongst the very many things, mocking upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they even called him a Sha'ir, a poet. With this point in mind, that a poet, normally his poetry is based on lies, on fantasizing, on exaggeration, and on deceit. With beautiful words, they now camouflage all their wrong things. But Allah Ta'ala says, really those poets who are like that, right at the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala says, all the poets who are like that, they are in misguidance, and they are wandering around aimlessly. But Allah Ta'ala makes an exception, that those who have true iman and do good deeds encounter this poetry leveled against Islam was poetry which defends Islam. Allah Ta'ala says they are exception to that. That poetry which imbibes the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which mentions the honor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all these types of poetry are not only permitted but also commended. So to imbibe this quality of love in a person, and also to incline a person towards the truthfulness of Islam. So those are exceptions. Because that surah verse has been mentioned here, that's why the surah is called Surah Al-Shu'ara, a Makki surah. Particular the incidents of the nations of the past, and particularly of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his nation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here. In the beginning, Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam that if these people refuse to accept your message of haq, don't become so despondent. Don't now become so sad and afflicted with grief. Like that you are going to destroy yourself, they are not going to bring iman. Why? Because hidayat is actually only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your work is to now give the message of haq. If they don't respond positively to your message, then don't be afflicted with such grief. So then the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his nation is mentioned in great detail, and how the magicians also, when Fir'aun branded the miracles of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to be magic, and then he arranged for a challenge, and when the challenge took place, the magicians realized this is not magic. This is what? This is now something else. This is now from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they immediately accept Islam despite the great threats of Fir'aun against them. But they did not waver them in the least bit, and they remained staunch on their iman despite all these threats of Fir'aun. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Jannat and Jahannam also here in this surah, and on that Allah Ta'ala then terminates the surah. In between, the nations of the past have been mentioned, as mentioned previously also throughout the Quran and Majid. The same incidents of the nations of the past have been mentioned, but in a way that keeps the reader and the reciter of the Quran and Majid captivated. Allah Ta'ala, in a very beautiful way, different forms of expressions and ways Allah Ta'ala explains these incidents. And really, a person who reads with a bit of understanding, even if a person doesn't understand the Quran and Majid, but he becomes a hafiz, he knows that these incidents, particularly in this para, how Allah Ta'ala had mentioned them, kazzabat, that these nations, they denied their Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, and how Allah Ta'ala mentioned the incident, a person who reads very beautifully and with concentration, really a person, the reader just keeps on remaining captivated and interested, he doesn't become bored. The same incidents are mentioned, but not in the same way, complete different style and ways of expression. That is also the beauty of the Quran Majeed. The last surah, Surah An-Naml, continues into the 20th para. Inshallah, we will do it tomorrow.
And Thabitin radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala, كان سلمان في عصابة يذكرون الله فمر بهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فكفوا فقال إني رأيت رحمة تنزل عليكم فأحببت أن أشارككم فيها. سورة ثابت رضي الله تعالى عنه فرماته کہ سلمان رضي الله تعالى عنه ایک جماعت کے ساتھ اللہ کے ذکر میں مشغول تھے کہ ان پر حضور اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا گزر ہوا تو وہ ذکر سے رک گئے تو نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا میں نے تم پر رحمت کو نازل ہوتے دیکھا تو میں نے چاہا کہ میں بھی اس میں تمہارے ساتھ شامل ہو جاؤں. حضرت سلمان رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ was once making ذکر of Almighty Allah together with his companions. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by them, due to which they stopped. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, verily I had seen the mercy of Allah raining upon you, thus I desired to also come and join you.